And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGR Radio, Mike O'Hare, Lions aficionado, and Nick Roddy. I don't know who he raised for. I guess he's from WGR. I guess we'll claim him today. Hello, fellows.
Yeah. Hello.
How we doing? This is the playoff edition of the K&M Podcast. This is the fun time of year, fellas.
Well, you know what? This one, and I think four more coming up then, okay?
Well, it was weird to have this week off and actually watch games, because when you're not playing, you're not talked about it. Don't you feel that, like, this week that the Lions and the Chiefs just weren't talked about at all? It was almost like they were out and they were finished for the year, and now you get back into it where the Lions and Chiefs are now starting to be talked about again.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It was like you said, you aren't talked about. It's like you don't exist.
Yeah, and really, there's no reason to exist because you have nothing to do this week. And, Nick, I think that the Lions needed this off week more than the Minnesota Vikings did. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've covered time and time again how many injuries this team has and how long ago their bye week was during the season. So, yeah, I mean, they definitely needed a week off to rest, recuperate, and maybe get some bodies back.
And I don't even think it was the injury part why they needed the week. I just think they needed a mental week off. When you have the fifth week of the season would have been about, what, the first week of – it was the second week of October or something like that. I know it was early in the year. And you haven't had a week off since then, and you've just been going. I just think, Mike, the human mind needs that week off.
Well, thank you for giving some thought on your mind that I have one to think about. No, I agree with you, though. The mental strain is equal to the physical strain. I think both of them can really wear on you over a course of time.
Yeah.
Especially they were being chased by Minnesota from week five on, really. I know Minnesota had the lead in the division probably around then, and then the Lions overtook that. But, I mean, it's a lot on a team like that to be chased like that when you're striving for the division title, you're striving for the one seed, and you keep being chased all year long.
Yeah, and like you said, the Lions never had more than a two-game lead, and that was only two games because they had beat them the first time. They never were more than one game in the loss column ahead of Minnesota the whole year. So that was like you said, you're just battling every week just to stay where you are. And correct me if I'm wrong, fellas, or do you agree with this? This may be the Lions' official first week in the playoffs, but I think this is their second playoff game, don't you? I think that Minnesota game was their first playoff game.
You consider that a playoff game?
I do. I think the mentality going into it, I think the way you prepared for it, I think the stakes of it, I think that was a playoff game, even though it was the last game of the season. But I think –
I mean, it wasn't a win or go home game. So.
No, but it was a win or go somewhere else and play game.
Yeah, which, I mean, even if you had to go somewhere else, I think like they'd be confident going anywhere else the past couple of days or even tonight. So,
yeah.
I mean, I agree with you to a point, but not 100%.
Okay. Well, I just feel that everybody this week is going to be worried about, are they going to be stale coming out after the week off? How it's going to affect when the game starts. And they can't start any slower than that Buffalo game. So I don't think it's going to affect them as much as people say. Mike, you remember back in 91 when they played the Cowboys after having that week off. I don't think it was effective at all. I mean, I think they came right out and stuck it to the Cowboys.
I think they beat them 38-6.
Yeah, but I mean, if my memory serves, they came out right away and established what was going down. So I don't think that week off – and I was talking to Lomas Brown Friday about that, and Lomas said that as long as you're not going on the road after a week off, you're fine. And you never can go on the road after a week off if you're the number one seed. So I think he's saying you're fine and it's good. So I expect him to come out with fire, especially prime time, 8 o'clock Saturday night game, which the game is. I think that'll be the crowd itself will be on fire and fired up.
Absolutely, I think they've been looking forward to this since day one of the season.
Yeah, I mean, this is the perfect game time for these Lions fans too. I mean, it's on a Sunday night where you got to go to work in the morning. It's Saturday night; you got all day to be downtown, go tailgating, and then you kick off at 8.
Yeah,
and I think it's the best slot of the weekend.
And if my memory serves me correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, fellas, weren't both playoff games last year on a Saturday night? or Saturday afternoon. I know the first one was on Saturday, the Rams game. I can't remember. I can't remember was the Tampa Bay game. It was an afternoon game, a 4 o'clock game, but I can't remember was it on Saturday or Sunday. But I know for sure the Rams game was a Saturday. I remember that. It wasn't a Sunday. So they're used to it. I haven't been talking for 5 minutes, and I haven't even said who the opponent is. The opponent is the Washington Commanders. And I watched the game last night. I'm happy Tampa Bay lost. I don't know where you guys fall in on that, because Tampa Bay was a team that worried me. They play the Lions, but they match up good with them. They play them tough. And Baker Mayfield is that X factor. He could either be good or bad, as we saw last night. And I'm just glad he's gone and we don't have to deal with him.
Well, he's been mostly good this year, too. So, yeah, you're right about the damage he could do to the Detroit Lions. Which you can't now, of course, because he's out of the playoffs. But yeah, I thought the same thing about him.
And Roddy, I thought the Green Bay Packers were the worst team in the playoffs again. And I'm about to call them out because you know how I feel about the city of Green Bay and the Packers. I'm about to say it in a minute. But watching the games yesterday, the Packers were the worst teams in the playoffs of the seven teams. They were the worst team.
Hard to beat Denver, Ken.
Well, I'm talking about on the NFC side. We'll get to the AFC in a minute. But
okay.
Yeah, and I was going to say hard to beat Pittsburgh, too, on the AFC side. I mean,
yeah.
But, I mean, I just don't get the Jordan Love talk. I mean, he's the second coming of Joe Montana, if you watch TV. And I've been following the season all year long, and I just don't get it. I mean, they kind of showed you who they were. They were good through a little bit of a stretch in the season, but ultimately that's kind of who they were.
All right. Give me 2 minutes to indulge myself on this rant I'm about to do on Green Bay again for the second, third consecutive week. Yeah. All you people out there in the media that was saying the Green Bay Packers, oh, this team is going to the Super Bowl this year, and they're the threat to win the NFC, and they're the young team, and they're up and coming, and Colin Kaepernick, all of them picked them at the beginning of the year to go to the Super Bowl. What you saw was a mirage last year. What you saw this year is the same mirage. You're trying to anoint Jordan Love as the greatest thing ever. And to me, all he does is throw 50-50 balls. I don't see any smart quarterbacking out of him. I see a bunch of jump balls out of him. Yeah. And I don't see any rhythm to what he does. And, oh, he's the next. You had Favre, and then you had Aaron Rodgers, and now they've got the third coming. Sorry. You don't have a third coming. Now, well, go back to your little Green Bay shack or wherever was up there with y'all run out of up there in Green Bay. Regroup. Put together a team. Get your coach under control. He's a good coach, but he gets out of control sometimes. Get him under control. Come back. Win a couple division games before you even talk about winning the Super Bowl, because no Super Bowl team is going to go 1-5 in their own division and talk about winning. That's all I got to say.
I mean, people are saying they didn't have a full complement of receivers. Christian Watson was hurt. Is there a receiving court? I mean, am I seeing something wrong? Wicks and Watson and Jaden Reed and Dobbs, they're just fine. They're all just fine players. I don't really see a top receiving core out of this team.
They're workmanlike is the word I would use. Workmanlike receivers.
They're just players. That's what they're. You know, the one thing that kind of ticked me that I saw part of his interview after the game yesterday, and he said, we beat ourselves. No, you didn't. You got to whip all those people on the other side. They did it, not you. You couldn't beat yourself. That's how bad you were.
Yeah. Yeah. They got one. The running back from the Raiders. Good player.
Jacobs,
good player.
Very good.
Good player.
Very good.
But, hold on. He ain't the second coming Adrian Peterson the way they were trying to build him up 3 weeks ago, especially after the Lions game. Oh, my God, this is what they brought him for. He came to this town to win playoff games. That's why he left L.A. or left Vegas. And this is what I've been looking for. Don't do all them interviews till you win a game. Don't do all that stuff until you actually do something. That's too much talking in this league. Not enough playing and doing. You know? Everybody's talking. And now we're about to get to the Commanders talking last night. And all this, we want Detroit and blah, 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 and boo, boo, boo. And okay. All right. All right. You want
it? What's the difference between ba, 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 and boo, boo, boo?
You know, that's a lie. There's a couple of curse words in the boo, boo, boo. But we'll see. We'll see. You don't have to yell and scream for Detroit. You know where to be next Saturday. It ain't no secret. We want Detroit. You go get them. You got them. Show up. You know, just too much talking going on. And another team that talks a lot, Philadelphia. You got wide receivers reading books on the damn bench because he can't get any passes. You had a quarterback, Mike O'Hara, who had 39 yards passing in the third as the start of the fourth quarter. And you telling me that's the team we got to worry about? All right. Yeah, my name's Boo Boo the Fool. Just throw me anything, okay? You got one damn good player, Saquon Barkley. Stick with him. You know, and I'm just I'm just getting inside myself. They're a good team. But I'm telling you, this Jalen Hurts thing has bothered me for a couple years now. He got benched at Alabama. They ran him out of Oklahoma or vice versa. He went wherever he was going. He done been to a couple colleges. He's a good player, but he's not, you know, he's the next Lamar Jackson. Okay. All right. All this talking going on. Your coach – for one thing, shave before the next game. He come out there looking like Grady from Sanford and Son. He need to take a shave. Look like a coach, you know. That team bothers me, man. That team bothers me. It just does.
No kidding.
And I hope, and I don't think it's going to happen, I hope we get to play them after this game here, because I don't think they can beat the Rams or the Viking winner. We'll see how that works out. But I'm happy for them to come next week. You want to show up? You get yours too.
Yeah, they don't seem to peak in the playoffs. That's the last two or three years. They certainly didn't peak going into the playoffs.
That was a winnable game by Green Bay yesterday. Even in the fourth quarter, it was still a winnable game. As terrible as they played, their defense played good. But as terrible as that offense played, it was still a fourth quarter game they could have won. And then your boy starts throwing up them 50-50 balls and, you know, trying to be hero instead of just, you know, moving down the field. I'm done with them. Green Bay, I don't even talk to you to the draft. You got the draft in Green Bay next year. See you in April. Shut the damn freeway down. 94 shut down going in Appleton. You can't get out that way. Take another route. All right? We're done with them. Take the Ludington Ferry. That's the only way you can get there. We're done with you. All right. Next move, fellas. Washington Commanders. Great young quarterback. Any fear coming into this game by the mobile? You know, the Lions, they can't play a mobile quarterback. Quarterback can move 2 inches off the spot, we're going to have problems with them.
I'm so sick of this, that line. Is there a defense in the NFL that is good against a mobile quarterback? Like, oh, yeah, we do really well against mobile quarterbacks. No. That's the purpose of a mobile quarterback.
Right. No,
they're hard to contain.
Right.
But, yeah, you're going to beat them eventually. That just bothers me. Oh, yeah, they can't play a mobile quarterback. Who excels against mobile quarterbacks?
Right, right.
That's why they're so rare.
Right, right.
Well, this kid looks like he's special, though. He really does. This is a different, except the one thing that I'd be worried about with him for the long haul is his size. He's small.
Man, you see that hit yesterday? He was a rag doll the way he was flying out of body. He can't be taking hits like that.
Yep.
Not many.
Yeah. Like I said, he ain't walking on water either. This is another one. He's a good quarterback, good rookie, very good player, maybe one of the top half of the league in quarterbacks. But this is a kid that was at Arizona State before he went to LSU. Now, he ain't been great all his life. So let's take a step back, let him develop, let him become the player he is, a good player. But come on, everybody wants to appoint somebody, you know, after the first season. If I remember correctly, and Mike, you can back me up on this, they were talking about RG3 the same way after that rookie year. Remember, he was the head. It was him before the Indianapolis quarterback, Luck. Remember? Luck's not the best one. RG3's the best one. And he couldn't stand up under that, you know, running around out there. It got him hurt. And next thing you know, Luck, even though Luck left too, but Luck became the better player. And I'm telling you again, you got that kid out there. If he's your leading rusher, you got problems. You got problems. I don't care how many games you're winning right now. He can't be your leading rusher. Your quarterback cannot be your leading rusher, and that's what he is. And I'm really interested to see what kind of scheme Aaron Glenn's going to draw up against these guys.
Well, he had 13 carries for 38. I think it was 38 yards. That doesn't translate to great in my book.
No, but he had 800 some yards for the year.
No, I know. He's a good player. He really is.
But like I said, he's a rookie. This is the best matchup besides Green Bay, because I said Green Bay was a fraud for the Lions to get. So I'm happy with the matchup because they could have played the frauds, but they didn't. The frauds lost. So we'll move on to the next team. Roddy, does anybody else on that offense scare you? Or somebody that have to check?
Yeah, Terry McLaurin, I think, is probably a top 10 wide receiver. I mean, they were running open yesterday against Tampa. So, yeah, it concerns me for the secondary a little bit. My boy Terry and Arnold, we'll see how he plays this coming Saturday. But, I mean, they got some receivers, Ertz at tight end. So,
you mean the guy that we let go that we didn't want this year, Ertz?
What do you mean?
He was on the Lions last year. We didn't want him, remember? We let him go.
Oh, yeah, for like a day, yeah.
Well, he was on the team.
They signed him right for the playoffs, didn't they?
He came for the last game. They signed him the week before the NFC Championship. Then they didn't activate him that Sunday, and then he was gone after that.
Yeah.
Well, he can come back. He wants to come back and be the four-string tight end. We got him. Him and James Mitchell can fight it out for that practice squad, spot. No problem.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about Terry, though. He's really good.
I tell you another, you got a Michigan player on the squad for all you Michigan State fans. Mikey Sanders-Trill is out there on the starting at outside corner. He was a nickel, and they moved him outside. So that'll be interesting to see who he works up against. But I like the matchup. Let's just get it in, get it over with, and get to next week, because they have to win this week to get back to where they were last year. And this is my question for you two guys. Is getting back to an NFC Championship game a successful season?
That's a great question. I'm glad
that's why I asked it.
Because from what I hear, listening to the radio and so on, that if the Lions don't win the Super Bowl, it's a wasted season. All that other stuff.
I think you got to get to the Super Bowl. If they lose next week, I think it's a wasted season. Yeah. I don't think it's successful if they lose next week.
Well, successful and wasted. Bowl, wait a minute. Hold on. Let's get our definitions right before you go on. Wasted and unsuccessful. Are those two different things, or is that the same thing to you guys?
Well, wasted in terms of you had a 15-2 record and you ultimately didn't win the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of the same. But what do you think?
I'll let Mike go, and then I'm going to tell you what's going on. I'm going to let you guys have your opinion, and I'm going to tell you what really is going on. That's what I do. Go ahead, Mike.
I think getting to the Super Bowl, it's a successful season that ended with disappointment.
Yep. Yeah.
But I think it's a wasted season by any stretch of the imagination.
All right. That's very nice. Now, this is the way it works. You have embarked on probably a four-year run from this point that this is your window. These 4 years, there will be successes.
And we're in year one or year two?
This is year one. This ain't even year two. They got to where they were a year early. Winning a playoff game was the goal last year. Remember last year, getting a playoff game at home was the goal? Remember, that was the goal going into the season. They got that, and then they won a second one and almost won a third one. That was a successful season to me. This year, the goal was to get back where you were and go farther. So successful to me would be getting to the Super Bowl. And then you off that little list that they bring up every year about the teams that have never been in a Super Bowl. That's the next step. Get off that list.
Yeah.
Get off that list. Now, if they go there and Kansas City's there and put the pounding on them, or if Baltimore run them off the field, I don't like it. I'm not going to say it's the bad season. They just lost two good teams.
Yeah.
If Buffalo gets there again and put the wood on them again, okay, I can accept that. But just getting there gives you the chance to win, so that's my goal.
But what if they lose next week? That was your question, or this week?
Yeah, not a successful season.
Yeah.
Well, no. It's
so
No. Let me say it. It's a disappointing season. To me, successful is you won your division again and you had two home games to go. That's successful.
Yeah.
It's disappointing if you don't take care of them, right? So the season to me is successful. But it's disappointing ending if you don't win these two games. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Mike?
Well, I think it's disappointing if you don't win those two games.
Gee, I thought, where did I hear that? Like 2 seconds ago, I just said that.
Because I don't want it. I said it twice.
I just said,
want to make sure you can still.
I just said that. I agree with you, man. I'm agreeing with you. Like, you're ready to argue with me.
Hold on, brother.
Now, let me ask you question number two to the fellas. Would you guys, if you had to go to the two games to go to the Super Bowl, would you two guys want the two easiest teams, or you would want the two best teams to play to go?
Take two guys with one leg. What are you talking about?
Okay, so you want the easiest route.
Easiest, yeah.
And what about you, Roddy?
I don't think there's any such thing, but yeah.
Okay, and Roddy?
Like for next week in the Super Bowl matchups?
Yeah.
I don't think there's an easy matchup in the Super Bowl, no matter who it is.
Well, if it's Houston, it might be an easy matchup.
Yeah.
But
I'm
gonna disagree with you guys on this one. I want the hardest route. Give me the best team. I want to play the best team in the NFC Championship game because I want them to leave no doubt that I am the best team. So if it's the Eagles are the best, whoever's favored to win that game, that's who I want to play. I want to play Eagles. Got to be favored next week. They're home, so I figure they'll be favored no matter who they play. I want the Eagles. But we're going to take care of Washington first. I'm not looking past the Commanders like I'm playing. But I'm not looking past the Commanders. We'll get to them. But I want to play the best team. I don't just want to, you know, like it was a year, I forgot who it was, and it was a bunch of upsets. And I think the NFC Championship game was Jacksonville and somebody. Remember that year, Mike, Jacksonville made the NFC Championship game? They weren't the best team. They weren't the best team in the conference. They got there and they got beat down. And I think the team that beat them, I don't know how they played in the Super Bowl, but it's just not fulfilling. Fulfill yourself.
Yeah,
beat the best.
They got to the conference championship, I think.
With Blake Bortles, right? If my memory serves me correctly. Blake Bortles.
Probably against the Patriots, wasn't it?
I can't remember who it was.
Or did they beat the Patriots?
I can't remember who it was. But anyway, just beat. I want to beat the best. Because when you look back on it years from now, we didn't just fall into the Super Bowl. We earned our way there. Question number three. David Montgomery will be back for this game. Supposedly, and we'll know more today, but it looked like he'll be back from all the video we saw, the celebration or whatever. How do you split the carries with Gibbs going forward? What do you do? I'll start with you, Mike.
Well, I think Gibbs gets more carries. I think that's a no-brainer right now. Number one, just be part of this because Davenport's coming off an injury, and you're not going to give him
Montgomery.
I don't think Montgomery.
Davenport's coming off an injury every game. He's been gone so long, I forgot he was on the damn squad.
Well, that's because he's sitting on the Davenport. But anyway, I think that I don't think he would get the full load by any. You know, now something could happen to Gibbs, and he might change that. But I don't. I think there would be a plan to take it easy on him.
Roddy.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You don't put him back in to his normal workload at all. I mean, I'd be even hesitant to use him in goal line. And they hadn't always used him in goal line because they use Gibbs sometimes on the passing situations. But, I mean, it's probably, I would split it like almost 70% Gibbs, 30% Montgomery, something like that.
All right. I'm a contrarian of both of you. I say you go back to the exact same way you did before he got hurt.
You're crazy.
No, I'm not. You go back to the exact same way. Gibbs, I think the way they played him this year was perfect for him, keeping him fresh. You always put him in at the opportune times. You don't have to give him 28 carries where he's running into the line all the time. You got your hammer. Montgomery sets the tone for me, man, of that offensive line. Sets the tone physically. And that's what you got to start with again. And I just put him, if he's good, put him right back in and run it the same way you ran it before. Gibbs, I like to see him 15 carries at the most. Montgomery, I like to see him with the same, you know, 12, 13 carries. And that's fine. No problem with that. So that's what I would do. Don't you think Mike Montgomery sets that tone?
Oh, I think he does, yeah. At least he had anyway for these first 2 years. No doubt about that. But I just think that this is something you got to really moderate and just to make sure that you're not doing – unintentionally further damage to a player.
You mean playing him too much and get him hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. If he's not ready to go, you're going to give him so many carries. But like I said, I want him to set that tone. You can start Gibbs if you want to and just have Montgomery come in. And they're such good friends and whatever. It's not going to bother them either way. They both pull for each other, so it's a good thing. The one thing, though, I'd like to see them both on the field more. Am I the only one that don't think they've done that enough this year?
Well, certainly not something you see very much, you know, see very often in the NFL. It's just it's the way it is. It used to be, you know, back in the day, you know, you'd see those split running backs. That was the, you know, primary lineup. That's been gone for years.
Yeah, but I mean, I would like to see Gibson.
Ben Johnson, or Dan Campbell, that a couple of weeks ago, though, and explanation was if you have got Gibbs, you got to kind of split him out wide, in which case he's matching up against a corner, which kind of negates the point of having him out there because he's not going against a linebacker or someone like that. So
he can beat corners too. That's what I'm saying. But I would put him in that slot a little bit because if you look at his dimensions, he's the same size as like Tariq Hill. So, and Tariq Hill was a former running back before he became a receiver, and he's got the same receiving skills. I mean, it's ways you can utilize both of them. I mean, I know you got a lot of weapons and stuff, but I would just like to see a few plays with them out there together just to, you know, keep defenses honest and see how it works. I'm not saying, you know, put them in every play, but just something to keep an eye on. They played a few plays together this year, if I can remember, but not a lot. Not a lot. Jared Goff. Jared Goff. Is he been short-skirted for MVP? Should he be talked about more in MVP? And what do you expect out of Jared Goff in these playoffs? Go ahead.
Well, I don't think he really was a strong contender for the MVP. So I don't think he's been harmed in any way. He's gotten plenty of publicity this year, and well deserved. Really well deserved. He got his contract extended. You know, so it's not like he's had a bad thing going for him. I think he's done just fine.
Rodrigo.
I mean, I think he should get in. I think he should be in the conversation, but it's really that Houston game that did it in for him. Yeah. I mean, you hit 5 picks in a game on Sunday Night Football. No matter what you do, it's going to be hard to overcome that. But, I mean, I think record should account for something. I mean, it's number one seed. You compare to Lamar Jackson, where they have 5 losses, and Buffalo, I think, had, I don't know, 2 or 3.
I think they ended up with 3 losses. Yeah.
And 2 losses in the hardest division of football compared to Buffalo playing probably in the weakest division of football.
Right. No, I agree.
So I think he should have gotten conversation. I'm not sure he should be the favorite to win, but.
No, he should be in the conversation, though, because look at his numbers. Forget about everything else, the winning record or whatever. Look at his actual numbers, 37-12, 4,600 yards. He finished second, I think, in yardage in the league to Burroughs. He had a hell of a year, man, a hell of a year statistically.
Yeah, and also, I don't know if the people who vote know this or not, but he's really been a leader for that team too. And he's gotten stronger by the game, stronger by the year.
Yeah, and I think his biggest accomplishment was that he mentored Hendon Hooker.
Yeah, can't forget that.
I do that just to mess with Mike every week. When I mention Hendon Hooker's name, Mike just folds. He folds. Hey,
is Hendon Hooker hyphenated?
This is my prediction. I'm glad I brought this up.
Oh, boy.
We're going to talk about the coaching search next and our 2 assistants. If Ben Johnson takes a job to a team that doesn't have a quarterback, he trades for Hendon Hooker. You heard it from Ken Brown first.
You're crazy. Okay. Justin Rogers this in his mailbag for his new website. Why would the Lions want to trade away Hendon Hooker? He's a cheap, good backup.
Okay.
Why do you want to start over with backup quarterback?
First of all, you're wrong for mentioning Justin Rogers on this podcast. We don't do that.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. Justin's my boy. I'm just trusting. First of all, we don't mention Justin Rogers. But secondly, you know why, Roddy? You know why you do it, Roddy?
What are you going to get in a trade for him?
I bet you can get a third rounder.
Hell no.
Okay.
You're crazy.
Okay. Just remember what I said as we go forward.
Don't worry, Kenny. I'll remember this one. Keep going.
And
third rounder.
And I agree with you. If you can't get anything lower than that, you just keep him as your backup for 2 more years. But he's only got this will be his third year coming up, right? Yep. He's got 1 year after this year, and then he's going to be gone anyway. So you got to do something with him. I agree with you, having a reasonable price backup quarterback is the thing to have, and he's getting better and better. But Ben Johnson, if he takes a job, he doesn't have a quarterback there already, he's going to want somebody that knows his system, ready to go. And who is that? Hendon Hooker. All right? Just remember I said that.
All right. We will.
Speaking of the two jobs, what are your predictions now on both candidates? Will one or both be leaving at the end of the year? Mike?
I'll say both. I don't have a strong feeling that way, but I say both.
And Roddy?
I was leaning towards just one, but just because there aren't a lot of openings this year. But I feel like it's both. I think Johnson's going to the Raiders, and I think Aaron Glenn is probably going to the Saints.
You think Johnson's going to the Raiders?
Yeah.
Mike, you think that's where he's going?
It's kind of a goofy, strange, you know, organization, and I don't think it's anybody's dream place, but I'd say no on that one. I'd say no.
I thought he would go to Jacksonville until I really looked at how bad Trevor Lawrence is, and I don't think he wants any part of that. The New England job had me interested in him going there, but, you know, they never really considered him. They always were going to get Vrabel. The Raiders job, if Tom Brady's pushing that hard for Johnson, that's another thing, too. If Tom Brady's the owner of the Raiders, he should not be doing his game this week talking about Ben Johnson, and he's trying to recruit him. I don't like that at all, and the league should put a stop to it right now.
I think you're probably right on that. I don't think it's egregious, but it's probably something you shouldn't do.
I don't know. Evidently, neither you think the Chicago job and Ben Johnson are together, because you're going to disappoint a lot of people who are hearing this and listening from Chicago. They think Ben Johnson was a done deal, you know, 3 weeks ago.
I mean, he's talked about how much he wants some cohesion with ownership and management, and he wants structure. And I mean, right now, Chicago has none of that. So I don't think he's even on the board. Mm-hmm. But I'm not an insider, so don't quote me.
No, we won't. says Nick Roddy in quotes. I will say that Johnson comes back to Detroit next year. And the only reason I say that is because if what I hear he's asking for and the stuff he wants, and I mean asking for money-wise, it's only a few organizations that are going to pony that up. And those organizations he probably doesn't want to go to. So I think he's just going to be very selective. He's 38 years old. They're like, Aaron Glenn is 52, I think, or 50, yeah, somewhere like that. So it's his time. You know, he can't wait for another job. So when he gets that offer, he's going. But Ben Johnson, he can wait 4 years if he wants to, still be 42 and be one of the younger coaches. So it's no, you know, it's no hurry for him.
No, he can take his time and he can be selective. That's for sure. And then you know, he's probably, you know, probably already made a good amount of money.
Right, and he'll make more. And like I said, his name comes up every year. How many coordinators in the league, and we're from Detroit, so it's different, know Ben Johnson's name in other cities? How many coordinators in other cities do we know by name? We may know Kellen Moore, and I can't think of any right offhand. I'm sure I know other ones, but, you know, we know Kellen Moore because he was with, you know, the Lions and the Cowboys. But Ben Johnson's name rings everywhere. So it's not like he's not going to have opportunity. Can you name another offensive coordinator? Just right off the top of your head?
If I thought about it.
Yeah, you got to think about it, but it's not. Ben Johnson, as soon as I say Ben Johnson, oh, that's the Lions. That's how much of a brand he has built in these 3 years. You know, you see the sports shows, they ask Ben Johnson. You know, Ben Johnson's coming to town. It's like you know, the bad sheriff and stuff. Bad sheriff's coming. You know, Ben Johnson's coming to town. So he can be selective. Hope he stays another year. I would like to see him stay.
Well, I do too. Yeah, I do too.
For sure.
I want to see Aaron go, though, because I think it's his time. I think he'd be a good coach, a real good coach. I'm happy for him. So, and I think, like you said, Roddy, it'll be New Orleans. I thought it was going to be the Jets for a minute. What do you think about Chris Spielman, fellas, interviewing? You think Chris is getting a little antsy there?
Well, I think it's a good, if he wants to, it's good for him.
Well, his brother's on the search committee, so is this just his brother doing him a favor, or do you think he's a real candidate for this?
Well, I don't think he would do it unless he was a real candidate.
Well, they didn't have to tell him.
Yeah. I mean, there's, I think there's, what, 13 candidates?
Yeah, it's a bunch of them, right. Okay. It's a bunch of them. Offensive coordinator for Seattle had an interview with our, not the offensive coordinator, but Seattle had an interview for offensive coordinator with Hank Fraley. You think Fraley may be leaving us?
You mean to be a coordinator or to be a head coach?
Coordinator. No, you're not head coach. Coordinator.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Why not?
It's interesting because I don't think he's ever called plays, and you take him as a coordinator in the Seattle coaches a defensive coach, so he wouldn't call plays. That's interesting if they do that. I've never seen that happen before, but I hope he stays too. That's another one I want to see stay. I don't want to see him go anywhere. Deshae Townsend interview for the San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator job. This is another thing too. Glad you brought this up. I brought it up. If Aaron Glenn does go, what do you do with the defense? Do you bring somebody else in, or do you promote from within? And probably Shepard would be the one we're talking about.
That's one of the things of your guys getting coaching jobs is that you've got to start making decisions on who's going to replace him. First of all, is it going to be someone from within, or are you going to make your own little search and bring somebody in from the outside? Depends on how highly you value the guys on your team. The guys who've been coaching for you for 2, 3, 4 years.
So you're just not going to answer the question? Is that what I'm getting out of that old soliloquy you just read?
No, it's not a soliloquy.
Answer the damn question.
Know.
Yes or no? In or out?
You're absolutely yes or no. I don't know.
Roddy?
Yeah, I mean, probably Kelvin Shepard, but who says Aaron Glenn doesn't want to take him with him?
That's another thought. And if he does take him with him, I tell you one that's interesting I heard about, though. I don't know if you guys would do this. If he leaves and takes Shep with him, Robert Saleh?
I've heard some people mention his name, and I can see why.
The only reason they mention his name is because he's from Dearborn. If he was from Paducah, Kentucky, they wouldn't even be mentioning him. You know, it's only because he's from here. You know, you know how we are, us localites here. Anybody from here has to come back for some reason. I wouldn't want him back. I mean, not even back, because he never was here. He never was here, so I wouldn't want him.
Why not?
Because he got that stench of the Jets on him. And go somewhere else and spray it off of you.
He was a damn good coordinator in San Francisco.
No doubt. But he went and got that stench of the New York Jets on him. And after that, you got a few.
And look what they did without him. He was 2-3 or something when they fired him, and they stunk ever since.
I'm just saying, once that scent is on you, man, tomato juice ain't going to get it off of you. You got to go somewhere else.
Let me say, you don't think he's taken a shower in the last 3 years?
All I'm saying is,
what are you saying?
When you're hanging around a bad organization, don't bring it to a good organization. That's all I'm saying. So let him go. But anyway, that's some name people are talking about. But we'll see how it works out. Now, if Ben Johnson goes, I don't know who's the offensive coordinator. I don't know who's up for it. That's a question that only Dan Campbell can answer. I'm sure he has a succession plan, though, because he probably thought he was going to use it last year.
Probably. That would be a big loss, no doubt.
Yeah. All right, fellas, that's the wrap for this week. We'll come back. Let's come back Friday and do our predictions for all 4 playoff games for the weekend and the Lions game. Let's get some more information on what's going on. Any final thoughts there, Michael, here?
I've taken enough beating today, Kenny. I'm done.
Thank you. Nick Roddy.
I'm all good.
Yes. All right, well, that's the K&M Podcast for Monday. Join us if you're hearing this Monday afternoon at 4:35 for Alex Anzalone this afternoon, player of the game last week. We'll talk to him about this upcoming game, see how his arm is after a week off, and is he ready to go in his son's birthday party, which he had last Saturday. So we'll talk to him about that. We'll join us again Friday on that, and we have others on the Mitch Album Show during the week. Nick Roddy's on the WJR Morning Show with Guy Gordon. Listen to him. Michael Hare is everywhere that Lions football is around. People are talking to him. So any station you turn on, you might hear Michael Hare giving his wisdom. So there we are, fellas. And I'll see you.
Not anymore.
I'll see you next time.